Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber along with Jim Cramer, and we are live from the New York Stock Exchange. Happy Monday, everybody. Carl has the morning off. Let's give you a look at futures, of course, as we get ready to start trading here at the NYSE. 30 minutes from now, you can see we're set up for what will be a sharply lower open, and that, of course, is where you'd expect our roadmap will start. Let's call it risk off this morning. Stocks are going to open lower. This, of course, is the spread and the rapid spread of the Delta variant.
Yeah.
Rattles investors.
That's what it is.
We're also preparing for a post-pandemic world, and Zoom, well, it's doing the same, making its first multi-billion dollar acquisition. It is, by the way, the second largest American technology deal of the year. Plus, there are a lot of concerns about COVID misinformation on social media. The president says social media is, quote, killing people. Facebook, for its part, is fighting back. All right, Jim, let's talk about the market itself. Of course, our viewers just saw where we may open at least a half hour from now. Going to be lower, yes. Somewhat substantially lower. It does appear to be because the Delta variant spreading quickly. We spent a good amount of time talking about it. Thankfully, hospitalizations and or deaths have not been following
right.
The case count
right.
In the same way. But it's of concern, it would seem.
Yeah, look, you come in and you see Europe down big. Europe's in a different position from us. You see the 10-year at some price that makes you think that there must be just all hell's going to break loose. You see that there's whole states that seem to just don't believe. And then you hear that Facebook is killing people and the president. Zuckerberg, by the way, many things have been said about him. This is the first time I heard he's a murderer.
Well, he didn't say that.
Well, okay.
He
okay.
Didn't say
that. But Facebook, their executives there. I think it's a false
talk
charge.
About, you do.
Yeah, well, because I think that what's happened is, although I think Dr. Gottlieb is absolutely right that it should be easier to police and they should police it, there's just a lot of people, David, who genuinely believe that it's bad. So what's he policing? If 40% of the people think that it's bad, are you supposed to tell those 40% that they're ignorant?
Well, Jim, I don't know. I think that's not exactly what the president was talking about. If we want to get to this,
the president was not clear.
Let's take a quick pause. I want to come back to this Facebook versus the Biden mystery. I want to get back to the market for our viewers, just so we can sort of set things
sure.
up as we get ready to trade 28 minutes or so from now.
Look, I just think
are there going to be opportunities today?
Let it snow.
Yeah.
Well, look, today's the day.
You're not going to step in by the cruise lines. Today,
I don't want
right?
to pick on people. I don't pick on people. No, the cruise lines.
Yeah.
Did you read the lawsuit that, I mean, there was an overturn, the appellate court agreed, but did you read the lawsuit that Frank Del Rio filed from Norwegian? It's very sad. What he says is we want to vaccinate everyone from the crew, be sure that everybody in the crew is vaccinated, and be sure that all the tourists are vaccinated.
Right.
But the state of Florida won't let them.
Right.
The state of Florida is basically mandating that there be people on those cruises that have COVID. Well, I think it's a non-starter.
It becomes difficult, particularly given the level of infectiousness of the Delta variant.
Right.
Again, not morbidity, thankfully, but you can get it very easily.
No, you're either going to be, well, here's what we'll discover in the next 4 weeks. You're either vaccinated or you get it. There's no middle ground anymore. And the breakthrough is Dr. Gottlieb suggested is happening more aggressively than people realize.
Well, it's not being tracked, is what Dr. Gottlieb also says, and he'd like to see it. I mean,
right.
Listen, we've had a long time now to listen to a lot of different people in public health tell us things. He's the best, I think. I think and I agree.
And he's pro-vaccine, and he's also, what I'm waiting, by the way, to hear is we have all these professional athletes who are getting it.
Yeah.
They obviously don't know that they have it, or else they would be saying,
and they get tested all the time, which is why they find out that they have it, even though they don't have, they are asymptomatic.
Can we get back to the market?
Yes.
Okay. I am saying that the market rolls over. Could roll over 3%. But you take a guy like Mike Wilson, whom I like. He comes on. He's an intelligent
Morgan
guy.
Morgan Stanley,
and he's, yes, and he's now saying, listen, we got to get a little more defensive.
Okay.
Well, hello, David, the cyclicals have been rolling over for weeks. Weeks. And now we get defensive. Now is the time to look at Cleveland Cliffs at 19 because it sells at 2x earnings. Now is the moment. David, he likes Mondelez. Mondelez has been great for weeks.
To the extent that the market is responding to this perception that we're going to somehow, or that economies are going to slow, or we're not going to open as quickly, I don't know, Jim. I mean, we're fully open here where we are in New York, right?
Well, they're putting
nothing
masks
is stopping
on in
anybody.
California.
All right. Well,
the key
and Dr. Gottlieb says that's silly.
Right.
In L.A., by the way, not in California.
He also says, the third booster. No evidence whatsoever.
No evidence.
When you
that's. But the U.K. is fully opening today.
I know.
Right?
Even though Boris Johnson,
who UK, obviously had a very bad
UK
bout
sending,
of COVID,
UK sending
was
mixed signals. Mixed signals. Because one of the things that's happening in Europe is if you get COVID, they seem to not trust the antibodies, and they're giving them another shot.
Right. Well, again, back to our man, Dr. Gottlieb. He says you benefit because there's an enormous immune response if you actually had COVID and get the vaccine. You are really,
those are
truly
the people
protected.
Who are best off.
Right.
But I want to go back to Facebook.
And it does wane over time.
Let me go back to Facebook for a second.
Okay, come back to Facebook.
You know, by the way, I'm being facetious. Doesn't call Murray. He says that they are causing death, the president. But Facebook is the beginning of a word named FANG. And the one part of this market that has yet to roll over is FANG. Once FANG has rolled over, then you can buy. Because then everything will have rolled over. That's the last bastion. And David, the Reddit people,
how am I
they
gonna,
don't
right.
they get blown out the day that Robinhood comes public? Just because it's, you know, it's a little Shakespearean,
the
isn't
Reddit
it?
People, meaning what, you're taking a look at AMC and GME in particular, or just in general?
Well, AMC should be hurt by the Delta
AMC
variant.
AMC had a very bad week last week.
Yeah, well, the Delta variant. And the big screen TV.
And the big screen TV.
The big screen TV,
which,
that
by the
you
way,
get
been
from
around,
G.
Been around for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, just let me know.
Don't forget Bill Ackman. Everything's great there.
We got to come back
all
to him,
no, that's
too.
Enough.
Man.
I'd say
yeah,
we great.
I got to wait on Ackman. I need to digest that
No, I just wanted to
more.
Say it was all great. I just wanted to put that out
Everything's
there.
Everything's great.
Yeah, great. Because I just wanted to be a totally gratuitous comment. I do think that, once again, if you look at the stocks that have been strongest, take Apple, take NVIDIA. Well, NVIDIA, David's down a quick hundo.
I see that.
Apple is rolling over. Being pushed again by a subtle Tony Saganagi. Look
rolling
at
rolling over. It's had this incredible move during the month of, let's call it, June into mid-July. Yeah.
The last bastion in this market is Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and, yes, Google, also known as Alphabet. Those are the last ones, all right?
Yep.
And, David, the one thing we're not talking about nearly enough.
Tell me.
Is it the end of takeovers? We haven't even mentioned 9-5.
No, which we are going to in the next block of our show. We like to call it the B block.
B block, exactly.
Yes, that is what we're going to focus on for this block of our show. We're talking about the markets, but also I do want to come back to Biden versus Zuckerberg. No other way to put it.
Right. Well, that's good.
And let's start with the president. This
youth
is what he had
versus,
to say.
It's like callow youth. This it's is, like the novella Youth by Conrad has everything that we need to know about this. Pass the bottle.
I will I'll make sure to read that one.
Yeah, you want to get that done.
When I have some time. Take a listen to what the president had to say.
COVID misinformation. What's your message to platforms like Facebook?
They're killing people. I mean, it really... Look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. And they're killing people.
All right, see, David, that's what I meant about... What you think... What is it? You think it's more of a justifiable homicide? What are you saying when you say that he's not saying murder? They're killing people. It's more like is it vehicular?
Well, Facebook, for its part, says the data shows 85% of Facebook users in the U.S. have been or want to be vaccinated.
Oh, it's 85?
Yeah.
Not 84, 86?
And a gentleman named Guy Rosen, a vice president, said President Biden's goal for 70% of Americans to be vaccinated by July 4th, Facebook is not the reason.
Oh, this, right back in his face,
was
man.
Missed. But you know what?
Right, they were afraid of Trump, but they were going right
you
after
and I
Biden.
I'd like to come back to our man, Dr. Gottlieb. because all roads lead to him.
Who is on the board of Lumen and Pfizer.
And he is on the board of Pfizer. He does appear. I wish, you know what, I wish we had had the foresight to make him the regular on our show instead of Squawk Box. But we always do listen to him be interviewed by Becky and Andrew and Joe.
It hurts every time
when he
comes on.
Every time. But this, I thought it was interesting because they did ask him on this very subject, is Facebook responsible to a certain extent? And he had this to say.
When you have a Facebook page with tens of millions of followers or a Twitter page where someone's a verified Twitter user and has hundreds of thousands of followers, the social media platform has handed them a franchise. They've basically given them a very big megaphone, and they've supported that megaphone by making them a verified user by promoting the page. And I think in that saying, they have an obligation for what appears on those pages at that point.
He said, yeah. He says that it's misinformation.
It is. No, I think
purely and simply. Saying that the vaccine kills people is not accurate.
No, but what Gottlieb said in a further soundbite, since I memorized everything, is it's very easy to spot the lies. And that's what Zuckerberg should do today. When he does his Thursday town hall, which I'm told are very meaningful, he should be saying, you know what, we've got this wrong, and we're gonna police everybody who says the vaccine, I don't know, creates some horrible disease. He should do that. And you know who he should hire?
Who?
Gottlieb.
Yeah.
No, the casinos hired Gottlieb. It's not just Pfizer and Illumina. I think that I would put him the head of a Facebook advisory committee to spot false things. Now, Twitter, no. I mean, I was attacked.
Why can't Facebook just do that?
Well, because they need
legitimate. Why is it so hard?
They should hire a retired federal judge. Or a retired FDA who's not Gottlieb. Gottlieb's got four other guys he talks to. Or maybe, I don't know, hire Fauci's already committed. So anti-China. He says it's bats, by the way.
But it does go back to the power of this platform. Yeah. And it's obviously not just Facebook, but Instagram as well, of course, that we
But you know what's interesting? You got to let Twitter go. Just let them say it. I mean, this. I thought that I was safe by talking about pickling, right? Pickling cucumbers. No, the what they want to do with the cucumbers personally with me, I found was not about eating them.
Really?
Yes. And then they immediately attacked me because I'm pro-vaccine.
I'm saying that for being pro-vaccine.
Oh, are you kidding me?
And for pickling.
Pickling and pro-vaccine. The fact that a lot of people felt that, you know what, you think you're so rich that you can have a garden.
I don't know what Twitter can possibly do.
No, Twitter you have to let do whatever they want to do because it's anonymous. But I think that Zuckerberg really right now should call us, which he won't do, and say, you know what, we are going to take action because it is easy. We heard Gottlieb say it's easy to police. And we're going to name Dr. Hamburg, Margaret Hamburg, to be in charge of this. Peggy Hamburg.
Okay.
The best FDA person we've had other than Gottlieb.
Got it.
Peggy Hamburg will now run the Facebook Facebook COVID analysis.
So it's not a question of whether Facebook can adequately police it using its algorithm and actually just being able to find these things. It's a function of deciding what actually crosses the line.
No one believes in AI. You have to hire a person.
One person?
Yeah. And then you let AI do everything.
I see.
You make it like an AI call center. Oh, that's the B block.
Yes, we're going to get to that, actually. Thank you. Coming up, Zoom Video is making its largest ever acquisition. It's an all-stock deal, but we will give you the details. Let's give you one more look at futures, of course. We get ready to start trading here in 17 minutes. More Squawk on the Street from the New York Stock Exchange straight ahead.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Full serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can por help favor, you grow Adams. From here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
McDonald's. 1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Welcome back to what we like to call the B block of our show. Referenced it earlier. A, B, C, D. We get all the way to like G, I think, don't we? And we start again. Let's talk about this deal, because it's a fairly large one, and it's
Zoom
doing by far the largest acquisition. It is an all-stock deal. Let me just go through the particulars for you this morning. They're buying 5.9 all-stock deal. If you're a 5.9 holder, you're going to get 0.5533 shares of Zoom at the open, or at least prior to what may be a decline in Zoom shares. It was worth about $200 but we'll see, Jim. They're saying it complements their growing offering, of course, but it's a different vertical. It's always interesting to see a company.
But there are partners, loose partners, but they've been for a long time.
You know, some will view it as a great opportunity for Zoom to broaden its business, using obviously a very highly valued stock to do so. Others will say, are they running out of growth in their key business, and therefore do they need to do that? You can see right now, Zoom not going to decline that much. Premium not as large, perhaps, as some might have anticipated for a high-growth company like Five9. But deal's going to close, they expect, at least first half of next year.
But, you know, David, Zoom is one of those stocks that, again, rolled over a long time ago.
Yeah.
And yet they still want to, shockingly, give out stock, which, you know, you could argue the stock was, you wanted to do that when the stock was at 572.
True, although it's still a $106 billion market value company.
No, yes, good
well
point.
Down from its highs,
good
but
point.
I mean, where was it prior to the pandemic?
Contact center combination AI.
Right.
Very, very powerful. I know that RingCentral is up against them. It's another company that people say, well, RingCentral, what the hell is that? Well, it's another big company that has a video and also has call center. You could argue that what's Cisco doing with WEX? Well, they could be doing their own call center. I think that this is a deal that a lot of people are going to say Zoom had to start doing something else other than being Zoom, because it's viewed as a one-trick pony by a lot of players.
Right, so use the opportunity that's been afforded you by a stock price that, even though to your point is down from its highs, is up dramatically, to broaden your business, to acquire something else. It conceivably makes sense.
Right.
At the same time, some of the valuations overall are so high. I mean, I don't know what Zoom's current multiple is. I'm sure this thing is. But I'm always reminded of, you know, JDS and SDLI.
Oh, my God. JDSU, which stood for Just Don't Sell Us, and then it became Just Don't Sue Us.
It was like a $30-plus billion deal, but it was all stock. It was all air. Now, that's not saying this is the case here, but it just reminds me of that time. What was it, late 90s, early 2000s?
Never trust a CEO wears a beret.
A beret? You didn't like him? Come on.
No. Ray Puri, that guy. Okay, so listen to me.
Yes.
Listen to me.
Our producer Chip knows everybody's name. He remembers those days.
Okay, yeah, Joseph
Strauss.
Joseph Strauss.
Yeah,
All right. So let's take a look at this. David, this is how alien tech has become to people. The reason why people like this deal is because of CBCCAAS. CCCAAS. It's cloud-based contact center as a service.
Cloud-based contact center as a service.
So in other words, it's cloud-based. Mm-hmm. You've got to say cloud-based native.
Right.
And, David, their go-to-market strategy is excellent.
Got it.
With a $24 billion TAM.
Yeah.
That's how this deal is being sold to people. Now, what I think matters is that Zoom needed to have another way to attack. And they got this. I want to see how Ryan Trollope does as the CEO.
Yes, but he's going to move and run this unit as a unit of Zoom.
He ran the Cisco unit, and then he ran to this. Eric Nguyen, very similar, by the way. These are very smart guys.
No relation to the author Trollope, right?
No, I did that to him when the first time when he came on.
Did you?
Yeah. And I said, are you related to Trollope?
Yeah.
And he thought it was not funny one bit.
Really?
It was a real bomb. I should have I should have moved on.
I think it's always worth going with the literary references, being an English
people
major.
People hate my literary references.
Well, they don't understand.
Well, I was going to be a professor of English and history.
Many of them are ignorant. Up next, it is...
No, those are the vax, anti-vax people, the killers.
Up next, it's his mad dash. That's right, his. He was talking there. I was not, on Twitter.
Just look at your
when everybody
file,
says that I
give
just
you
said
credit
something,
for that.
That was his voice, not my voice. We got an opening bell coming up in 10 minutes. Stay with us.
Yeah.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
We are going to have a down open, would appear, over 1% at least on the major averages.
It'll be down 2%. Europe's down 2.
Yeah.
But if you want to buy it, just wait till Europe's closed. But that would be your first chance.
Okay.
I want to talk about a very good piece of research.
Yeah.
Goldman is upgrading Qualcomm sell to hold. Now, it turns out that this gentleman added Qualcomm to America's sell list on 16 April 2020. It's since then up 82% versus the S&P up 55%.
Wait, that was suboptimal then.
Yes, because he was saying sell it into that.
Yes.
So do we now say this is a good time to go to hold? No, this is when you say sell Qualcomm. Why? Because a lot of things happened last week. People don't even understand it. There was a conference call, Taiwan Semi. David, that was the call which just said, you know what? There's no more tightness. It was a peak semi call. Now, Qualcomm's related to Apple. There is no fight right now with Apple.
Peace is broken out everywhere with
them. But Taiwan Semi is no longer tight on everything. They've got space. In the meantime, Intel, David, which did steal a top executive from Mellanox, bought by NVIDIA over the weekend, Intel doing something that I think that is exactly the opposite of what our regulators want, which is buying global.
Well, we don't know.
We do know. Actually, we do know.
We do.
It's one of the most stupid things I've ever heard.
My point was, we don't know that they're going to follow through.
No, we don't
do
know.
It.
But think about it. Even under anybody's interpretation, anybody's, it's wrong. So, David, the lawyers behind that are charlatans.
Okay, I want to talk more about that because you were not here on Friday when we discussed that.
No, but you can't do that deal. Everyone's going to complain, whether it be the Chinese, whether it be Taiwan Semi, whether it be AMD. Everyone's going to complain. But Pat Gelsinger continues to take bold action. He is, yes, full of sound and fury and signifying. Macbeth?
Nothing.
Thank you.
Really?
Macbeth holds up. Macbeth holds up like you wouldn't believe.
All right.
You know what doesn't hold much ado about nothing does not hold up.
Qualcomm holds up.
Merry Wives of Windsor does not hold up.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right. We got an opening bell. By the way, remember, you can always catch us anytime, anywhere. Listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street opening bell podcast. We're back after this. Welcome back. Let's give you a look at what we're expecting about a minute and a half from now when we get ready to open. Of course, we've been pointing out we're going to be down. You said maybe as much as 2%. We'll see where
yes.
we actually bottom, Jim.
In sync with Europe.
But there it is. 51 points in the S&P and 500 on the Dow or so. I like to ask you, when our partner's not here, kind of go back to our old days, what the key to this market is. I think you already may have referenced it.
Yes, you need to see FANG roll over. It's the last, it's the best, and that's when... I mean, it's starting to dawn on a lot of people that the market's headed lower. David, if you owned stocks instead of just being an index player, the index being heavily dominated by FANG these days, you would realize that we've had a slaughter in a lot of stocks.
Underneath the surface, I mean, I pointed this out at the end of last week. Oil services, horrible. Healthcare, biotech index, horrible. There have been some real pain masked, as you say, by the performance of the stock people are looking at right there.
Well,
which,
now
by
they're
the way,
gonna roll
are amongst
up.
The largest market cap companies in the world.
Yeah, now I do want to point out the absurdity of what's happened. So you take a company like Cleveland Cliffs, okay? Bear with me for a second. It sells at three times this year's earnings. Now, that's a sign that people believe the earnings are going to collapse, of course. When you see Goldman selling it 8 times, people believe that next year's going to be a down year. I don't think that. I think that they had a great quarter, and it matters. But, David, if you look at J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon must be astounded that his stock has rolled over so big since they reported a terrific
quarter. Let me get back
quarter.
To that in just a second. Tell people who did the honors here. Of course, it was, you can see the real-time exchange, as we might expect. A lot of red on that board. Here at the big board, Builders First Source, that's a building product supplier, celebrated
company.
Its transfer to the NYSE. Over the NASDAQ, Horizon Therapeutics, biopharma focusing on rare diseases. Get back to your point on JP Morgan.
Those have been killed, those stocks.
On JP Morgan, Jim, which, again, reported results almost a week ago at this point, and the market did not respond positively.
No, because the
banks overall were
people just think that with the tenure where it is, it doesn't matter what Jamie Dimon says or does. Now, remember, Dow down 500 is not like the old days.
No. Well, the Dow is elevated. A statistically insignificant index anyway.
How often do you hear...
Let's take a look at the 10-year, actually, because I do want to see where we are in the
10-year is, to some people, frightening, because it's signifying something they don't know.
1215.
Is it signifying that because we're blocking ASMLF from selling big machines to the Chinese, lithograph machines for semis, that therefore they have to take over Taiwan semi? Do they have to take over Taiwan? Is that what is being signaled? Or is it that the variant is crashing through, breaking through to so many people, and the Tokyo Olympics are scaring people?
The breakthrough cases, if you've been vaccinated, thankfully, you're not going to get very, you're not
They're
getting
like
sick.
The flu.
99.5, something along those lines of hospitalizations are people who've been unvaccinated. I think it's, maybe it's 98,
right.
98.5.
But look, Zoom Video going down 5 is not bad.
No. Doing an all-stock deal, as we just told you, the stock is only down 1.6%, which obviously will impact the overall value of the deal, but still, let's call it around a $14 billion all-stock transaction. For 5.9. Not a lot of green on the board, as you might expect, but Merck is one of the names. And, you know, I do come back to it so often, Jim, of course, and when we talk about the Delta variant, we talk about antivirals. And they have one of the key ones, because I followed its progress very closely.
And what Regeneron has something, too, but Regeneron's dropped off the face of the
Yeah, I mean, Molnupiravir, they're in phase three. They've had good, you know, they were halfway through a trial in India that has seemed to go very well. They obviously are still enrolling people around the world for the antiviral that really could change the complexion of the virus.
Well,
for those even who choose not to get vaccinated, who unfortunately get it, this could be something you take if and when it is approved, if the phase three data is as good as many people expect it to be, and could sort of done. We don't have to discuss
this anymore.
Right,
but you know, you get a Red Sox game canceled, Red Sox chances. You see a tremendous tennis player not being able to go, and you start to think maybe this is worse. But these people are all tested. They're asymptomatic.
They're asymptomatic.
And they feel
They're not
good.
Getting sick. Remember, what we're playing for is to keep people out of the hospital and from getting really sick or dying. Let's not forget that's what you're...
Right. It's just the death rate has not gone up. There are people who feel the death rate is starting to go up. But the stats don't show that.
It doesn't show that this variant is any more deadly than anything that preceded it, which
is good.
But
I just keep coming back. Let's take a Boeing, okay, which I think is going to have a terrible quarter.
Yes, I know.
You know, Boeing has just been straight down. All right. Is now the time to begin to worry about Boeing? Well, if they have to do an equity offering, maybe you get the stock at 200. There are stocks that are leading this market, and they are called the utilities. And, David, there's a utility that Elliott is not happy with.
I love your segues sometimes. Did you see me picking up my Duke Energy stuff?
That's what I did.
Let's talk about it, Jim, because I know you know the company fairly well, Duke. We came back to this a few months ago on the 17th of May. That's when Duke actually put out a response to Elliott's announcement as well. Came out pretty strong, sort of saying, hey, Elliott wants us to try and split the company. We think that would be a big mistake.
Look at that chart.
Elliott's waited a while. And they tried to have dialogue. My understanding is they haven't really had much, you know, no real engagement with them. But they have engaged with a lot of shareholders. They come out with a hefty letter.
Yeah.
And really, you know, again, Duke shareholders should read it. But they basically seem to be saying this board's got to be held accountable. Yes, over the short term, the stock has performed well, not over the long term. Their track record and stock performance. Their ability to create value in businesses outside of its core footprint, the interest of Duke's leadership and board being in line with shareholders. They particularly reserve a lot of enmity, if you want to call it that, for the lead director of the company at this point. Their lead independent director has meaningfully exceeded Duke's recommended retirement age and tenure. We struggle to understand how the lead independent director role could not be filled by a more qualified candidate that would hold Duke's management accountable. Not a lot in this letter about any plan of breaking the company into three. It's much more simply about their focus on what they say is a lack of execution. And they cite a lot of anonymous quotes from other shareholders saying the same and the frustration they've had over a long period of time, Jim.
Well, I know that they've not really gotten away from coal the way some of the others have. By the way, the switching to coal is so aggressive that it's going to begin to impact the railroads. And that's because coal is so much cheaper right now than natural gas, because we export so much natural gas.
Wait, you're talking about the switching to coal, to back to coal, use of coal.
Yes.
Not good for climate change.
No. No. Which, if you believe in climate change.
If you believe in climate change?
Well,
is that the same thing? Like, I just the anti-vaxxers?
I have enough people attacking me. The last thing.
All right.
I just don't want the people who don't believe
in
climate
change. Well, you know what? You've got to just try and speak facts. Not, you know.
Right. But so, I'm just saying that
climate change is real.
People
on Twitter who
Duke
will attack us for saying that.
Duke and Box are going after, and they're two of the best performing stocks. So why don't we go after companies that are performing poorly?
Well, Elliot would say that, yes.
But long term.
You know, saying that they performed well. I'm just looking for the actual line. The 3% unaffected outperformance over 12 months after years of subpar returns and self-inflicted setbacks hardly supports Duke's claim that it is performing at a high level.
Well, maybe it's performing at a high level because people know Elliot's in there.
Maybe. By the way, the window for nominating directors is a long time away, but they're not going away. Elliot's going to be in there. They're not going anywhere. You can expect, it would seem to me, if they don't get what they're looking for, that a proxy fight might be in the future. But that is quite some time the road.
Can I just point out,
please,
a stock that my Chapel Trust owns?
Yes.
Crown Castle.
Okay.
If you look at Crown Castle, it's been one of the greatest performers. Now, there's a guy, Jay Brown, who runs it. I always love his Jay Brown. He should be like a DJ, you know. Jay Brown, who basically fought Elliot and then quietly gave in and did pretty much everything that Elliot wanted. And the stock, ever since he caved, has gone from 146 to 203. And he adopted all of Elliot's things, but never, like, embraced Elliot.
Right.
I thought it was fantastic.
Elliot's fine with that, by the way.
Yes,
they don't necessarily need, all they care about is money.
That makes them sound so, it makes them sound like a hedge fund or something.
Yes.
But I think what they did with Crown Castle is what they really want, which is they're not saying, listen, we want to be told that we deserve the Congressional Medal of Breakups or something. But when you look at Crown Castle, you realize they had the right bead exactly on towers. And I often find it just dead right. I find it dead right on many, many things.
Good point, and it's important to point that out. Listen, Elliot's,
well, David,
had,
you know,
Elliot's had some missteps through the years, but it's, that one has certainly been a very positive
Alcoa?
One. I do.
We saw a recommendation about Alcoa today. Now, Alcoa was
That was so strange. Klaus Kleinfeld. The letter and his dismissal from the company. And
That was suboptimal,
as you like to say.
And ill-advised at the same time.
Yes, ill-advised, too.
David, did you read the Taming Wildcat stablecoin piece by Gary Gorton from Yale and Jeffrey Zhang from the Fed?
I did not.
It talks about Tether being $62 billion stablecoin and saying that it's basically unstable. Crypto goes down a great deal.
Okay.
I think people should be following Kritka. You know, we should put Bitcoin in the lower right-hand corner.
Again? Why?
No,
it's only down
3%. We do. No, because Bitcoin is another one of these weaknesses. And, David, here's where I think the speculative mania, the peak is going to come.
Yeah.
When the Robinhood deal
actually hits the market, $35 billion market value. They filed their amended S-1. We've already read through
They're not making
S-1,
a lot of money.
Where we understand their business, which we already had, which is pay for order flow.
Do you know that
85% of revenues, I think, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the number?
Losing a lot of money. 20 to 35% of the shares, David, will be allocated to customers. Now, will they be strong-handed or weak-handed?
I don't know. There's some of the same customers. AMC in particular, Jim, has been making that move down to a perhaps some would say more rational.
It did have a nice rally on Friday to avoid the July 30
strike.
You're right.
It did. It did.
I wish Bed Bath went on that list. It's doing well.
It is. I don't. Yeah. You know, sometimes we throw things on there, and that Clover's came and went very quickly.
Yeah.
Speaking of coming and going, Bill Ackman's SPAC plan to not be a SPAC anymore and to buy a significant stake in Universal Music, which, of course, is going to be its own public company fairly soon, gets derailed by the SEC, at least so he says, that it was their opposition to the structure of the transaction.
Right.
You know what? Why put words in his mouth? I think, do we have Mr. Ackman's comments about what happened? Let's take a listen.
before we signed the deal, the SEC came to us and said, we have some concern about whether RemainCo, this entity we were creating, was going to become an investment company. And in order to address the SEC's concern, we changed the structure of the deal to provide that we were going to contribute the stock that we purchased to a trust. And we thought that would address the issue. And then we signed the deal, and then we pushed forward with the transaction. And then actually in the last few days, the SEC raised, I would say, a deal killer, which is they said that in their view, the transaction did not meet the New York Stock Exchange SPAC rules. And what that meant, I would call that a dagger in the heart of the transaction.
One of the key questions that I'd gotten, and I, you know, obviously spent a lot of time trying to figure this out when he announced it, because it was a very complex deal, not requiring a vote, creating a new entity, then a warrant, a spark. I mean, as is his wont, Mr. Ackman doing things that were very creative. But one thing that some people didn't understand is, was he really giving his investors something that they couldn't already do on their own? Because, Jim, if you wanted to actually create Universal Music, there was a way to kind of do it.
In and some works.
No, you would actually buy, you could buy Vivendi and then short out a lot of the components.
Right.
Because remember, they own stakes in a lot of things, Canal Plus, a lot of other things. And there was a way to kind of short the stub, so to speak,
right,
and then therefore own what would be Universal Music. And that was certainly one of the questions. It's over now. He's got now again Tontine, the largest SPAC out there, trading right around where it was issued, $20.
He did basically say, can we just, not that he's Elon Musk, and not that he'll agree with what I'm about to say, but what he basically said was the SEC was unsophisticated, did not understand the transaction.
He did try to imply and, that, yes.
Yeah, and
I think
basically
fair.
Saying the SEC, frankly, were over their head, didn't understand the trust, didn't understand how well the deal was thought out, how clever it was, and basically said the SEC... well, kind of like what Musk thinks.
Right.
Without tweeting what Musk thinks. David, Pepsi is the stock up the most. They had a great quarter in the yield three. Well, about. And the ones that are down the most are the banks because, again, of the tenure.
Yeah, sorry, well, the tenure is at a level that it hasn't seen since February.
We see. Mondelez, recommended by Mike Wilson, is up. And Adobe's one to watch. It's a giant company.
Yeah.
It's not down.
To finish the thoughts on Pershing, which we're still
okay,
looking
I'm
at.
Sorry.
No, don't be. There's the 10-year. We'll see what he's able to go after. You know, there's going to always be speculation. Don't believe it if it involves Bloomberg. From everything I hear, that is not going to happen.
Really?
Jim, we had a deal between AT&T and Dish and MVNO this morning. You know, remember, Dish, of course, is trying to create a nationwide 5G network. Don't hear that much from them these days. Charlie Ergen's been quiet for quite some time. But they did file an 8K disclosing what's a new non-exclusive network services agreement with AT&T. It's got a 10-year term, and it will provide Dish subscribers, remember, who are one day they're going to move them onto this 5G network, but it doesn't really exist yet. So they have a deal with T-Mobile in place, but T-Mobile's booting a lot of them off. So now they're going to be paying them, let's call it, as much as $500 million a year over 10 years as they build out their 5G network. Who's the big loser here? Well, Citi says, listen, we view the deal as a possible negative headwind on T-Mobile wholesale revenue, a net positive for Dish by securing another source of high-quality capacity while it builds its 5G network, and a mild positive for AT&T, but did want to share that.
Yeah, I don't know. If you want to talk about, can I just talk positively for a second about this market?
Please.
All right, I'm going to give, and I hear that, I'm not talking positively about AT&T. So a lot of people wake up today and say, wow, the market is really beginning to roll over, right?
Well, the S&P is down 1.1%.
It's really, okay. It's gas. The market is at gas. Okay, so what was the best performing stock this year?
This year?
Yeah.
Well, was it NVIDIA at one point?
Yes, NVIDIA.
Okay.
Okay, so NVIDIA was at 827 a couple of weeks ago, all right? So then it drops to 727.
Right.
Now, that's a bit of a rollover. And NVIDIA is up today. What I'm saying is there are many stocks that were precursors to the so-called, wow, be careful, everything's rolling over. And those, the ones that have already rolled over, are starting to do better. That is a very good sign for the market.
Okay. Well, speaking of that broader market, let's get to our Bob Pisani, who's got more for us. Bob.
Happy Monday. We've got two problems. We're all living in a post-vaccinated world, and the vaccine will not go away. That's a problem. Second, very high valuations leaving the market vulnerable to a downturn. Those two problems are colliding today. Look at the sectors. The weakness is in the cyclicals, the stuff that did really well on hopes that the global economy would be reopening. So energy's weak, banks are weak, tech in the middle of that, consumer staples, defensive name, doing a little bit better. This makes a little bit of sense. The downside leaders, again, they're all cyclicals. You see the cruise lines, you see the airlines, you see copper stocks like Freeport-McMoRan, you see the oil stocks like Schlumberger all week. Again, generally, these are characterized as cyclical names. The market internals, we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. Traders have had a problem with the way the markets look. The momentum, the percentage of stocks above their 50-day moving average, momentum indicators have been slowing. Although they're still strong, breadth has been weaker. The advanced decline line's been a little weaker. New highs, they've been kind of crummy in the low single digits, you know, 10, 20, 30 in the S&P 500. That's not much at all, given the fact the S&P is near a new high. The other thing, of course, we've been talking about, we did this last week. Small and medium-sized stocks have been underperforming really since April or May. Look at the Russell 2000. It's 10% below its recent 52-week high. The S&P mid-cap is 8%. The Dow Transport's 12%. This is a little worse today, but this was going on for the last couple of weeks, and we've been talking about it. So it wasn't like this appeared, this weakness has appeared out of nowhere. Active traders, call active traders. They'll tell you, this is a really tough market to make any money in. They've been saying this for weeks. Lowry over the weekend, oldest technical analysis service in the United States, been reading their work for decades. They said the body of evidence reflects an investing environment where it's difficult to find attractive stock to buy, whether from new money or cash raised from the pruning of weaker stocks. Again, this is a sort of intellectual way of saying, boy, it's really been hard to make money in the last few weeks. The good news is, earnings, which had better be really good, have been good. You see what happened today? Look at AutoNation. Used car sales are crazy. Same store sales up 54%. That's not a typo for AutoNation. They've huge repurchase program. 15% of the stock repurchased year to date. They're doing more throughout the year. So that's going to keep going. And the CEO says demand continues to outpace supply. AutoNation, flattish right here. Tractor Supply had amazing numbers, 8% beat. Their comps were up 10%. They raised their full year guidance from 5 to 8% up to 11 to 13%. Great numbers. Wait a minute, the stock's down 6%. David, why is the stock down? Well, these stocks are expensive. This used to be, Tractor Supply used to be, you know, 20 times forward earnings, somewhere around there, 18 to 20. Now it's 24 to 25 forward earnings. David, that's a problem. The multiples, you cannot have high multiples or hope that multiples are going to keep going up when you're at an earnings peak. They might still be going up for earnings, but they're decelerating. And that means generally lower multiples. And when they're really high, like they're way above historic norms, like you're seeing with Tractor Supply, you've got a problem even with terrific earnings. So that those multiples, David, right now, even at 20, 21 times for the S&P 500, that multiple is under some risk right now. Back to you.
Yeah. Remember when Tractor Supply was the key to this market?
Well, Tractor Supply is a fantastic company. And it's also the key to people who move out, the hybrid people who go to the country. And that was a fantastic quarter. It's down huge.
Very little volume.
Yeah. All right. Before we head to break here, let's give you another look at a one-week chart of the 10-year note. As we've pointed out, of course, a number of times this morning, the yield is down. You can see dramatically 1.21. This, of course, also amidst that fall in stock prices. By the way, let's finish with a two-month chart of the dollar index. And there you see that coming up right there. Just down a bit. We'll be right back. You can see the S&P down over 1.5%. NASDAQ, not quite as much, but of course we are down significantly. NVIDIA perhaps helping the NASDAQ. It is, as Jim pointed out, it is up 1.5% after
Generon. There's a lot of companies that have been rolling. Moderna didn't roll up, just got added. But I'm just saying it's late in the game to say, hey, look out, we're really about to have a huge fall. 2%, yes. 3%, yes, maybe. Right. I'm just looking at some very good stocks.
All right. Well, look at them and get ready for stop trading, because that's what's coming up next. All right, welcome back. As promised, let's get to stop trading.
David, Adam Aron's done a remarkable job at AMC, but ever since he declared in the 50s that he wasn't going to issue more stock, the shorts have decided to go after it very aggressively. Why? Because they knew that if he issued stock, he'd buy back the bonds. that it was accretive, and that was the worry. Too much debt, you said over and over again. David, there are a lot of people in Wall Street Bets who make fun of me when I say hold. What I really mean is that's what they regard themselves as Braveheart. Now, who won in Braveheart? Exactly. And that's why I'm saying AMC, with this new variant, I think you probably want to stay home, watch your big screen with your free popcorn, even though you also get free popcorn if you own shares at AMC. And by the way, what's on Mad? Probably wonder.
I do want to know what's on
which
Mad
is
tonight.
You know, second-rate Chewy, except for its first-rate at throw my show.
Okay.
And then First Horizon, which had a very, very good quarter but did not forecast well. That is a Tennessee bank. Look at that. Will you look at that list?
BarkBox? You got two guys from BarkBox coming on?
Well, yeah, because I love pets. The humanization of pets is one of the great stories ever, particularly my dog, Nvidia, who's
Nvidia
bouncing
too.
Today.
Yes.
Nvidia the second.
Nvidia the second. I'll see you later. All
yeah.
Right. You have a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They love me on Twitter. It's so
oh,
great.
They do. Nobody's loved more than you. You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.